again, these paths have predetermined outcomes. And if I go on I-5, I'm getting to Canada. A path of unfaithfulness gets you divorce. Financial fraud lands you in prison. Selling drugs, jail time. Pornography, a very unhappy spouse. A battered spouse, a restraining order. Road rage, a fight, an accident, or the hospital. Real simple, okay? So there's some paths that have pretty undesirable outcomes.
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church. We are located in California's beautiful Central Coast in the pristine settings of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is the call we strive to live out daily on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we here pray that the time you share with us in worship will empower you by God's Spirit and enable you through His grace to do just that. Now, say you're driving, and for the sake of this example, say I came along for the ride. Now, we start in one certain place. We're certain of the path we want to take and certain of that destination. Yet somehow we arrive in a completely unexpected place. So after the arguing back and forth of your fault, my fault, your fault, my fault, your fault, my fault, we have to ask ourselves, did the route that we set between our beginning and our expected end change during the excursion? Or did at some point we make a decision that carved a completely different path that led us to a completely different locale? Today we will be hearing from Bill Snyder, who will share with us the principle of the path in the latest installment of PRCC Up Close and Personal. We'll learn that, much like in our faulty journey, our lives have paths, and each path has its own consequence, for good or for ill. And with that, let us tune our ears and hearts to today's message from our friend, Bill Snyder.
No, it is our privilege. We're in this series called PRCC Up Close and Personal, and we've been bringing different individuals up before you that have actually gone through a class. They've learned to study the Bible and teach, and they want to be able to have the opportunity to preach. And we've been sensitive to what God's been asking us to do as a church, and so it's been fun. I don't know about you guys, but I've enjoyed the last few weeks just kind of getting insight into what God's doing in the hearts and the minds of some of the people that are in here. I'm able to sit and actually be instructed by them through the Holy Spirit and His Word. And so we get another privilege today to be able to listen to another gentleman, Bill Snyder. You're the grandson of the King of Prussia, you said? I'm joking. If you get to know Bill, he has a sense of humor that just is deep. And so every once in a while, if I can throw a curve back at him. But I've gotten to know Bill a little bit. What an encouragement that he is, and he loves the Word of God. And I have to tell you, and I'm sorry that your guys' debt is just growing. Ever since the class, Bill came up to me and goes, "Pastor Sean, I got to confess an addiction." And I'm like, and of course the pastor, I'm like, oh. And he goes, "No, I just can't stop buying books. Been buying study materials and resources." And I'm like, oh, okay. So here's a man who loves to study, loves the Word of God, who is a teacher. And so it's our privilege to be able to hear what God's going to say to us through you today. And so if I could just pray for you, and then we'll turn it over to you. Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gifting of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you redeem us. You set us in the heavenly places with our Savior Christ. We know positionally who we are. And then, Lord, you don't leave us. You indwell us, and you equip us for ministry. And so, Father, this morning, as Bill opens up your word, Holy Spirit, would you speak through him? May we hear only your words, Lord, not Bill's words. And may, Father, your truth resound in our hearts and our mind today. God, we ask for your anointing upon him. We ask for your strength upon him. And we ask for your clarity through him. And we ask all this through Christ our Savior. It's in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Sean.
You bet.
Okay, Cody.
I know, technology, right? Got to have power. There you go.
Okay, thanks. Hi. Happy Sunday. I'm Bill Snyder. This is my wife, Karen, over here. Just raise your hand. Would you say hi, Karen? Now, you've met the whole congregation, so we're all set. She and I live in Atascadero. We've been married 51 years. Wait. It was an arranged marriage at 6. Believe it or not, that's what I tell my students in college, and they say, I'm 57. Really? Arranged at 6. Oh, okay, 51. You know what? They buy into that. Now, do not say anything if you're going to question, okay? But we have been married 51 years. A great 51 years for me. I hope 45 for you at least. Okay. I worked in industry for about 20 years before joining Cuesta. Was there about 27 years. Just loved. I love being in the class with the students. Don't worry about any pop quizzes. No. Although Jack, was it Jack or Tim, wherever you guys are, suggested we have a final exam. So before you leave, Tim, are you going to grade all the finals everybody takes on the notes? No, guys, we're not doing that. Okay, just so you know. What I want to do is I would like to just share a sermon that our son shared with me. He called up one Sunday night and said, Dad, I heard the best sermon I ever heard in my life. He said, I got a CD for you. I'm going to send it up to you. Listen to it. So I did listen, and it was the best sermon I'd ever heard, except yours. They're the best every week. This King of Prussia talking here, okay? It was a great sermon. Now, I can't give the sermon like he did because it was great delivery, and he had some great points. So it's those points that I want to share. And the title of this thing, which is, I think is the title in your notes, was called The Principle of the Path. That was the title of The Principle of the Path. And what he was saying is that there's a correlation between the road you go on and the road where we end up. So there's this relationship. Whatever path I'm on, if you go on that path to the end, you're going to end up where the path ends up. And that's the principle of the path. Now, let me give you an example. If Karen and I were to go out on 46, and at some point we'd run into I-5, right? We take a left. We're going to go through California, past Sacramento, get up into Oregon, past Portland, past Seattle, and we're going to end at Canada. So I-5 stops at Canada. Well, our daughter lives in Wisconsin. We want to go see her and her family. Well, they have 6 dogs now, 3 donkeys, had horses, a bunch of stuff. Well, we want to go see her, and we're excited. So we're going to get out of there, 46 to I-5. We're going to, as much as we desire, we really want to see her. What's our chances of going to Wisconsin, getting on I-5? 0, all right? No, 0. Whoever said not much, I'm not. No, we're not getting there. And so that's the whole point. In this power of the path, this is the basic premise. And hit the next one, please. Is it's direction, and that's the fill in your notes. Directions, not our desires, determines where we end up. So the direct, like on I-5, I'm going to end up in Canada. And the thing is that paths have predetermined destinations. They all come to an end at some point. And we've all chosen paths, whether it's a path to be an athlete or to be a banker or to be a small business owner, a mom, a student, an alcoholic. All paths, we are on paths, and they all have a destination. I'll put the other slide up here. And this is the key thing. It's not where you are now that's important. It's where you end up based upon the path you're going on now. Where is that path going to end? And if you stay on that path, is that where you're going to end up? Is that really where you want to end up? There are all kinds of paths that we're on. We can, Karen said not to say this, but the path of adultery doesn't start with sex. It starts with eye contact and flirting, and then you go down that path. We can cheat on our spouses. We can cheat on our income taxes. We can cheat on our jobs, and we can cheat at school, and you know what? Get away with it. Drink a little bit too much, spend with drugs and porn. And we know that other people have gotten caught, not me. No, I'm smarter than the average bear. I control outcomes. I can make good decisions. You know, I think it's going to be cool. But we also know this, that when we set our feet on a path of any moral compromise, we know that lots of other people have gotten in trouble. So, A person that puts their feet on the path of adultery more than likely ends up in divorce. A person that puts their feet on the path of financial fraud ends up in prison. That's just where those paths end. Have you ever heard people say, "Oh, I'm not gonna grow up like my parents. I'm not gonna be that way." Alcoholism or abuse or fighting. And yet, that's the path that's been modeled to us. That's the path that supposedly right looked like. And oftentimes we just follow that path to some sense of destruction. So remember, as that first slide was, direction determines our destination. So the question is, what path are we on? God's word makes it very, very clear that we go on his righteous paths, we receive his blessing. And we'll see some in a little bit. Also, we go on those wrong paths, there's also a consequence. All paths have consequences, some good and some bad. I conducted a Bible study at the homeless shelter in Tascadero for about 7 years. Would you think that those people at the shelter have taken a wrong path? What do you think? Yeah, that's one of the reasons they're there. But the better question is, do they know the difference between right and wrong? What do you think? I can say absolutely, because doing the Bible study or feeding Karen or staying overnight, I saw parents teaching their children the difference between right and wrong. So they know that difference. You've just taken a wrong path. Our paths have tremendous influence on our relationship with others. Our spouses, our kids, our neighbors, our friends, the people we work with, colleagues, even people we supervise at work. How about people we drive with on the freeway? Have you ever seen someone on an anger path? That's called road rage. Okay? There have been a couple I really wanted to smack. I even thought one day, I'm going to flip that guy. I'm just going to snap the backside of his bump, you know. But if I did that, I wouldn't be here today. Paths have a real impact on careers. I used to work for CalFed Savings and Loan as director of training. That was taken over by Citibank. That's why you haven't seen around here. And the president would do something that was really kind of unique. If he was going to hire some high-level official at the bank, he would invite this person to lunch, and he would have a couple other vice presidents and some low-life people, like me, to meet them in the cafeteria. They had a Google-type cafeteria. It was great. I only got in there once. That was this time that the president said, come in. And great food, great price. But the deal was, we were to meet under this tray so he could not be seen. The butter couldn't be seen. So a cashier you want to speak? Thank you. So the cashier, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about now.
Butter under the plate.
Butter under the plate. This is good. Hey, you guys are on top of it. You passed the pop quiz. Good. Everybody's there. So he gets to the cashier. Cashier rings him up. Didn't charge for the butter. I thought, man, that's strange. Here, this guy's going to be a financial guy. He's cheating us out of 10 cents. But it's the president's job, not mine. So we get together, and we sit down with this candidate. Everybody's talking, socializing, having a good time. And when the president gets up, that's the sign for us to get up, and he's going to leave with the candidate and go back to his office. Well, the president gets up. We all get up, and he goes like this. You guys sit down. He looks at this guy who scammed the 10 cents off of us. He said, Mr. Jones, there's no need for any further interview. I run a multi-billion dollar bank here, and I need someone to help me financially make sure we follow all the regulations and rules. I don't need somebody to cheat this bank out of 10 cents. This interview is over. Yeah. Paths have predictable outcomes. This guy was on a path of cheating all his life. He cheated through school. He cheated through business. He cheated here. Can you live on 10 cents just to miss out on a mid-level six-figure job? And that's what happened, is that these paths, again, have predetermined outcomes. And you choose a path, it's only a matter of time. Okay, James? Look what Proverbs 10:9 says. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes the crooked paths will be found out. That's what God says. Does God know what's going on? All the time. You bet he does. So let's take a look at our passage today. It comes out of Proverbs 7. We're going to take a look at, in sections, verses 6 to 23. Okay? Put the first one up there. Well, no, don't put the first one up there. Come to think about it. James, there. This is a proverb about a young man who thinks he can control outcomes. By the way, it was written by Solomon. And this guy thinks he can control outcomes, but he's not aware of the ultimate consequences of going down the path that he's going to go down. He thinks that, hey, this path of adultery, that's no big deal. My intentions are pretty good. Other people have done it. Why not me? It's not that big a deal in our society, so, you know, let's go for it. So, now you can hit it. Let's take a look at verses 6 to 9. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple. By the way, the simple is just a word that means basically youth that lack good judgment or lack moral integrity. All right? I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. Now, at this point, do we know who the her is? No. Could it be the guy's sister? And he wants to get together and have dinner with her. He hadn't paid his cell phone bill, and so it's not working. He can't call mom and dad. So he wants to have dinner with his sis and just find out what's going on. Could it be his sister? Yeah. Absolutely. Could it be a friend from high school? And they're going to go to Starbucks and kind of get caught up on the latest news. So it could be one of those. However, if we take a look at verse 9, it says, at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark night sets in. When people are skulking around at night, they generally don't want to be seen, do they? They want to kind of hide in the shadows and go where they're going and get away with what they're going to do. And that's what this guy is doing. So all of a sudden, you know, his intentions become a bit suspect. Let's kind of take a time out now and see if we can relate some of the stuff to what we're doing. I've had a chance to teach over 10,000 students at the college, and you know, in industry and at churches, you know, you talk to a lot of people. And I've discovered that there are a lot of folks dealing with life issues, life problems. But you know what? A lot of these folks don't need counseling. They got a path problem. Just flat out on the wrong path, going down the wrong hill, and end up in the wrong place. So the idea is to get back on the right path. Now, if we are on a wrong path, is God going to abandon us? This is important to understand. We're all sinners, right, Quint? We're all sinners. But God is never going to forsake his inheritance. That's what it says in the Psalms. He'll never forsake us. He will help us get back on the right path. Psalm 125, as the hills surround Jerusalem, God's favor will surround those who put their trust in him. I think that's kind of paraphrasing what it says. God is not, who is his inheritance? We are. He's never going to abandon us. He's never going to forsake us. We get on the wrong paths, we're not going to hell. Jesus has forgiven us. We have eternal life. I love the 23rd Psalm. Put that up, would you, James? Even though I walk, what? Oh, my copy says, even though I walk away from the valley of death. Oh, yours says through. What happens when you walk through something? You get through it. It's over. It's done. That temptation, that trial, that trouble, God has delivered us from that. And that's the beautiful thing about that particular path. You know, basically what we're saying is, where my Bible? This is what God is saying to us. Read my book. Do what it says. Stay on the right path. And I'll take care of you forever. In fact, do you know what the B-I-B-L-E stands for? Has anybody ever heard that acronym? It is great. Toss it up there, James. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Isn't that great? So here's God's instruction manual right here for our life. By the way, I think it's important to understand. The Bible doesn't tell us everything there is to know. It tells us everything we need to know. And every path we go on is clearly outlined in his word with those consequences. Okay, back to our story. So verse 10. Now we're going to get an idea of who this woman, who this she is. Then out came a woman to meet him and dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. Now do we know who the her is? Absolutely. So his intentions are not very honorable. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. What this means to me is that she's found it very easy to cause this guy to sin. To get away with something. Because she's there. She's making it very easy for him. If we were to kind of take, a step back for this, and do people make it easy for people to sin today? How about ladies, you're working in an office somewhere, and you've been there 5-6 years, new guy gets hired. Attractive, nice, friendly, everybody likes him. And well, maybe a year down the road, he starts to spend more time at your desk. And he says, you know what? We got this new budget thing coming up. Let's go have coffee together. Okay. How about ladies' night out? You go with 4 or 5 gals, and you're having a good time, karaoke, a couple glasses of wine, and some guys are flirting with you. You know, it feels good. I'm still attractive. No worries. Okay. You're the purchase agent, Stan, for a major company. Well, I know where you work, but how could we might make this happen, okay? Or you work as the store manager, and you have a supplier who wants to supply merchandise to your store, and you know he's having trouble, he really needs a contract with you, so he says, Stan, if I can supply all these goods to your store, I'll give you $50,000. But that's what I need to make it. Are you willing to accept a bribe? $150,000? Yeah, maybe. That's a bit. You notice I didn't ask you. How about the owner of a small business? And it's tough. He's been going for a long time, but all of a sudden recession hits, and he's having a hard time making payroll. He just made payroll this month, but she just had a hard time making payroll, okay? To all the male employees in the, no. So she had a hard time making payroll. And she's thinking, gee whiz, I got bills to pay. I know receivables are coming in, but I'm not going to make it. And I got to pay the corporate taxes. But she knows, you're going to be sorry about this, she knows that if she, ever heard the phrase, cook the books? If she fudges some of the financials, it can be so that not only does she have to pay the corporate tax, she's going to get a nice refund. And that cash can be used to pay next month's payroll and maybe help get those other receivables in, and we can make it. She says to herself, I know I shouldn't do this, but I got to do this to save the company, and I'll never do it again, but I got to do it now. The further you go down these roads, the further you come to the end of paths that are not really all that good. Does that ever happen, by the way? Do people cook the books all the time? Now, Sean says to all the speakers, he said, each sermon must have a climax. Now, the sermon's not over. We've still got about an hour and a half to go. But I have 10 minutes. Is that right, Sean? Really? Holy mackerel. Okay, at any rate. Yeah. All righty. The sermon climax is this, that if you know you think you're going down a wrong path, your head says, not so sure, your heart says, that doesn't seem right, your gut says, uh-uh, guess what? The sermon climax is, don't go down that path. Okay, real simple, don't go down that path. Okay, let's take a look at, where are we now? Verses 13 to 15. So she took hold of him and kissed him, and she said with a brazen face, brazen means shameless, she said, I have peace offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. Oh. Now from this guy's standpoint, this is good. She wanted me. She only wanted me. She looked for me and she found me. Does anybody believe that for a minute? Well, of course not. He is her prey. She's a predator, and she's going to take him down. Real simple. Again, these paths have predetermined outcomes. And if I go on I-5, I'm getting to Canada. A path of unfaithfulness gets you divorce. Financial fraud lands you in prison. Selling drugs, jail time. Pornography, a very unhappy spouse. A battered spouse, a restraining order. Road rage, a fight, an accident, or the hospital. Okay? So there's some paths that have pretty undesirable outcomes. Okay, we're at 13. She took hold of him and kissed him with his brazen face. Now, the question I have here is, what are these peace offerings all about? Anybody ever read this and not really understood peace offerings and sinner vows? Well, to this guy, this is a big deal. And we'll look at it from his perspective in just a minute. A peace offering means that she has sinned, and so she's going to go to the priest and make a sacrificial offering of a choice piece of meat. And then she's going to talk to the priest and make a repentance, a vow of repentance, and everything's going to be right with the Lord because she's forgiven, she's given the meat sacrifice, and everything's good with God. That's kind of like the confession with Catholics, okay? And the nice thing about this sacrifice of meat is that she can take also half of it home. It's a choice piece of meat. So from the guy's perspective, now think about this. From the guy's perspective, hey, she made a vow of repentance. This must be a religious woman, right? As he looks at it, she's a religious woman. And if I hang around with her, no problems. Also, there's a choice piece of meat waiting for him at her home. So there's a nice meal. So there's another reason to say, hey, no problem getting along with this gal. So he heads on. It gets better. Look what it says, 16 and 17. I have covered my bed with the colored linens from Egypt. All this means is she went to Bed Bath & Beyond and got some sheets. Do any of you ladies go to Bed Bath & Beyond? Please see Karen after today, and she'll give you her phone number. Call her. She'll go with you anytime. I can stay home and watch football. No, what this basically means is that she's wealthy. Because linen's from Egypt. Still, you know, she went to local Cairo, Bed Bath & Beyond, and she got these sheets, so she's wealthy. It also says, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. It sounds like they're going to bake in bed, but all the but all this really means, it's okay, Pam. All this means, again, she's wealthy. And this is a central invitation to this guy that, go ahead, you can join me. Take a look at 18 to 20, and here's where it really is good. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Well, now we know what they're doing. But listen to this. My husband's not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse. We need to stop here. Purse. This bothers me. Excuse me, though. How many men here are carrying purses with them? One. Okay. No. Not carrying a purse. Can we call this a man bag? Okay. So my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his man bag filled with money, and he won't be home until full moon. Oh, from this guy's perspective, can you imagine this? She wanted me. She's religious. She's wealthy. The husband's not home and I'm going to get caught. And I got a good meal at home. I'm all in. I mean, can it get any better than that as far as he's concerned? No, not at all. So let's see what's going on in verse 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Whoa, just stop right there. Whoa. Do we have any FFA folks here? What is a slaughterhouse like? Does somebody tell me what happens at a slaughterhouse?
They kill animals.
They kill animals. Is that all they do? They separate body parts?
Yes, I'm in the beef industry, so yeah.
So ending up in a slaughterhouse is not a good thing. So all my Big Macs are just like what you're talking about. But, you know, In-N-Out doesn't do that, so we're happy. Okay. Okay, so like an ox going to the slaughter. Hey, this isn't a part of my game plan. Ox like a slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Arrow, liver? That's got to hurt. Again, this isn't what he signed up for. Like a bird darting into a snare, which is a trap. Little knowing it will cost him his life. Really? Well, is this guy going to die tomorrow? No. What this is saying is he's probably going to live a life of immorality and debauchery and wickedness, and it's going to be wasted. It's a wasted life. Now, we know that he probably ended up with some kind of venereal disease of some kind, but, boy, this will be the last time I'm ever up here. How about blackmail? Has anybody ever heard of non-disclosure agreements? For those that are laughing, you know what I'm talking about. These are agreements basically signed by ladies of the night not to tell on certain politicians. You know what I'm talking about? Have some of these politicians gone down that path? How about Weinstein, the head of the entertainment industry? How about Tiger Woods? These guys go down that path, and where's it ending up? Loss of job, loss of reputation, loss of marriage, trust from the kids. You go down that path, it's only a matter of time. And that's the principle of the path. Look at some of the other outcomes. Well, do the next one. Divorce. Well, you've got it there on your sheet, okay? These are some of the ends of paths where people are going down the wrong path. And you know what? You telling me Weinstein and politicians and Tiger didn't know what they were doing? Of course they did. And look where they've ended up. Take a look at Proverbs 21:16. A man who strays from the path of godly, of understanding, which means godly wisdom, comes to rest in the company of the dead. I mean, God is making it really clear there's some paths we do not want to go on. However, is there some good news? Try the next one. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. We're going to sing that song at the end. Will God light our way? Will he show us the path to be on, to walk with him, serve him? Keep going. Look at some of these paths of blessing. The fear of the Lord, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm scared to death. We're talking about, do you know that the Hebrew has over 20 different words for the word fear? Here are some of them. I'm scared. It's love, awe, reverence, obedience to God. That kind of fear leads to life. Then one rests contented, untouched by trouble. I've repeated that many times when I go to bed. You know what? You have a nice night's sleep when you're on a path with the Lord. Try the next one, James. Let love and righteousness never leave you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Do you see that? Favor and a good name with God? I'm all in when it comes to that. The next one. Blessings crown the head of the righteous. Now, do you believe in God's word?
Amen.
Yeah, I do too. No question. But I've seen some of the ads on TV and internet and spam stuff. Sometimes Americans will believe anything. There was an ad, it was a spam ad years ago. You may remember it. It said, you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars working with us in your spare time. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in your spare time. I got to think, gee whiz, if I can make hundreds of thousands of dollars in my spare time, I might go full time. In fact, I might even work some overtime. Now, does anybody believe that's ridiculous? However, I do confess to this. And give me 5 more minutes. And you know, you owe me some time, buddy. So next week, I get the first 25 minutes. I will confess to this. I was grading finals one semester, and I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just, I hit a rock. Couldn't go on, so I'll go to bed. Well, I couldn't sleep because I was wired from doing all this grading. And I'll go watch some TV. So I did some channel surfing, and I came to this infomercial. And it kind of grabbed my attention because it was a guy sitting in the barber chair, and he had the, what do you call it, apron or whatever he had on him, you know. And there was this gal standing next to him with a can. Well, for some reason, it got my attention. Well, they turned the guy around in the chair, and guess what the camera zeroed in on? What do you think I'm looking at? Nothing. That's what I'm looking at. It's my bald spot. Did that grab my attention? I was like, Richard. You know, somewhere, what? Okay, well, then take a look at this. So they give you some hokey pokey that, you know, all these testimonials, and it's good. And he said, by the way, we're spraying this man's hair with black, and it looks like a full head of hair, but we've now come out with new colors. Dark brown, light brown, and even a silver for seniors. Now I'm thinking, not such a bad thing going on here. And so I go get my wallet. I never told you this. I went. And by the way, that's amazing. So I got my wallet, and I'm thinking, they want a credit card on the phone. Are you going to buy this really? You're not going to fall for that, Snides. So I didn't, but it happened. So it happens they repeated the commercial for the next 2 o'clock in the morning. So they repeated this commercial for the next half hour. Did I watch it? Yes, I did. And that's the pathetic thing. And I think this is one of the points I want to make is that just put the next, yeah. Those things that grab our attention affect our direction. And I was asking Mackenzie a few minutes ago, when you get a driver's license, when you're younger, you get this driver's license. They still go to the DMV. You drive a car with a DMV instructor there, right? Okay? A friend of mine did this years and years ago, and he was all set, taking the exam, and he's going down the street, and everything's fine, and somebody passes him on the left, and he turns his head and looks to the left. Well, your left is this way. My left is that way. He looks to the left, and the instructor says, son, get your eyes over here right now. He said, I'm sorry, what did I do wrong? He said, In all my experience, I've discovered that when people turn to the left, they have a tendency to steer to the left. And when people look to the right, they have a tendency to veer to the right. Those things that grab our attention affect our direction. And could we, again, change paths by doing something like that? Okay? I was going to tell you a story about Richard and Pam's new SUV that they bought. Do you like that one, Pam? How's that car working for you? Okay, just checking. All I'm going to say is I had so much lust over Richard's new SUV. I wanted to go down and buy one, so I'm looking at it. I realized, you know what? That car is going to cost me $850 a month to pay off. That is known as a debt path. Does debt path exist in our country? Absolutely. How about maxed out credit cards, family vacations we can't afford, new laptops, iPhones, golf clubs, Bed Bath & Beyond, tools. Yeah, got to see his new cart. She doesn't know about your new other thing. I mean, do we sometimes just spend too much money? What are we, $1 trillion now in credit, debt, consumer credit debt? Debt is a well-worn path that can lead to financial ruin. People say, oh, I'll pay it off. You know, I'm going to close the next big deal. Or how about, better yet, let's get a second or third mortgage on the house. And now I'm being worse debt. Again, debt is a well-worn path. How about workaholics? You know people that work 14 hours a day? Guys will say, my wife doesn't love me. My kids don't want to spend time with me. They want to be on their video games. There's no family unity here. Well, I wonder why, Dad. He says, I'm working, earning this money to pay for my family. I'm doing this to take care of my family. Friend, the reason there's no family unity is that you're never home. And that is a path problem. Okay, so what kind of paths are we on? Good question. I'm sure we're all on some good paths. But like taking your car in or your truck in to get oil changed every 5 or 10,000 miles and make sure it's working well, never hurts for us to do that too with our paths. So as I close, here's what I would suggest. Put this up, just four things. Stop, look, listen, and change course. Okay? Stop. Evaluate the paths that you're on right now. Am I where I want to be? And I've discovered and Karen and I are going on a couple of paths, me particularly at work, going through a significant path. As you go down these paths, do you have some regrets? And regrets are great road signs that say, gosh, I have these outcomes, but they don't meet my aspirations. There's somehow a disconnect between where I want to be and where I am. If I go on I-5, there's a lot of road signs, aren't they? And why do we obey these things? Because they keep us out of trouble. Take a look at some other road signs. Pop it up. Compromising your Christian values in the social dating scene. Keep going. Being unkind to the marginalized at school, the workplace, or the community. Lying to your parents about going to a party you know they wouldn't approve of. Compromising your principles to fit in with the in-group. A married woman says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband, but she makes the kids a priority over him. A husband says, I want my kids to love and respect me as they grow up, but he spends more time at work than with his family. A couple says, we'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God when they skip church every weekend and they go to the lake. Newlyweds determined to be financially secure by their mid-50s, but adopt a lifestyle of sustained debt. We talk ourselves out of exercising and eating high-calorie, good-tasting food, wonder why we're overweight. As we travel down any path, we need to look at our behaviors that are becoming habits. And here's the key thing. Will they help us get to where we want to be, or will they get us in trouble? All right. So we're going to look at where we are, and then we're going to look. Look at others who have already gone down your path. Look at your parents or your friends' parents or people you admire. Have they gone down your same path? How'd they end up? Is it something you like? Do you agree with? But take a look at where others are going, have already been that you're going. The best source of path management is God's Word. Absolutely. Every path is clearly outlined in the BIBLA, that instruction manual. And then listen. Listen to others you trust. Talk to people that won't judge you, that'll love on you, they'll give you great advice. We'll listen to what you have to say, but help you along. Of course, who's the best person you can listen to? Yeah, in prayer. Just listen to what God is saying to you and me about our lives. And lastly, change course if you need to. Not that you don't need to, but if you do, take a detour and get back on the right path. And when should you do that? Right now. It's hard, it might be embarrassing, you got to admit some guilt, but James? It's better to begin getting better today than keep getting worse tomorrow. All right? So, direction determines your destination. The path we're going on has an outcome, and it's going to determine where we end up. And we're going to end up where the path ends up, whatever that is. So what's the best source for path management or pathology? The Bible is our best guide for staying on the right path. Amen? Okay, Paul, Mike, would you guys come up here? What I would like to do is just sing that song, Thy Word, because God's Word is a light unto our path.